Blog Talk Radio.
Processing the Page with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining us. For those of you who are live in the studio and for those of you that may be listening online, welcome. I'm glad that you are here tonight. And I'm ready to just get into the Word. I tell you, with every great adversity, there is an equal or greater reward. And I truly believe that. Man, if you've been following my show any length of time, you know that normally Thursdays are, you know, if I'm going to be attacked, Thursday is when I'm going to be attacked. Boy, because the enemy be trying hard to get me not to be able to come on and speak the word that God has given for his children. And I push and I persist through because today was a rough day. Amen. So we're going to get into the word on tonight. But before I do that, I got to do a little housekeeping. On last week was a powerful message. And I wanted to let everyone know that I said 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 10, and it was 1 Peter. So I want to acknowledge that right afterwards. It was brought to my attention that I said 2 Peter, but it was 1 Peter chapter 2, 9 and 10. So I just want to acknowledge that anytime if I don't get the word right or get the scriptures right, I want to make sure if you catch that and I don't catch it, let me know, because I want to acknowledge to people that, hey, I recognize that I made a mistake. I repent. And so we could keep on going, lot of people won't say anything, and there's normally two reasons that they don't say anything. One, because they don't know no better. They didn't know that that wasn't a scripture, so they weren't following along in their own Bibles to figure it out. Or either two, they don't want to hurt feelings. But you know what? We have become so desensitized to the fact that, you know, we always worried about everybody's feelings to the point where we're not getting sound doctrine. You know, doctrine is going forth that's not sound because why don't nobody want to hurt nobody's feelings? Don't nobody want to say nothing? You know, and that's not a good thing. You should bring to the attention of somebody, you know, if you know better. You know, if you know that's not the correct scripture, then you should say it. But you could do it in love. And we just got to learn how to start communicating in love. When something's not right, just mention it in love. Just use the love of Christ, you know. We talked about last week the difference between judging and rebuking. And rebuking is done from a place of love, you know. And judging normally is done from a place of judgmental, harshness, punishment. So anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I want to get into the message for tonight. Amen. So we're going to get into that message. I'm going to have you all, you know, I'm going to lay the foundation with the word, and then we'll go from there. I believe it's going to bless you. We're going to go over to, let's see, if you want to follow along with me, I'm going to be reading from Numbers. And I'm going to start in chapter 14, verse 26 through 35. I know that seemed long. I'm going to tell you to hang in there. Just buckle your seatbelt. It may sound boring. We don't want to hear what she got to read. But I'm going to tell you to hang in there. Listen, it's all going to make sense. It will make sense to you. So Numbers chapter 14, verses 26 to 35. And one other thing I want to say, if by chance you feel like if I sound distorted or anything like that, I've been having a little bit technical difficulties this evening. So if you can't hear me, just don't text me. Just raise your hand, and then that'll let me know that there's something going on. Okay, and then my team will try to fix it. But other than that, let's move forward and let's hear what the Lord has to say tonight. Numbers chapter 14, verse 26 through 35. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall this wicked congregation grumble against me? I have heard the grumbles of the people of Israel, which they grumble against me. Say to them, as I live, declares the Lord, what you have said in my hearing, I will do to you. Your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and of all your numbers listed in the census, from 20 years old and upward, who have grumbled against me, not one shall come into the land where I swore that I will make you dwell, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said will become a prey, I will bring in, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in the wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness for 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithlessness, until the last of your dead bodies lies in the wilderness, according to the numbers of the days in which you spied out the land, 40 days a year for each day, you shall bear your iniquities 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. I, the Lord, have spoken. Surely this will I do to all this wicked congregation who are gathered together against me in this wilderness. They shall come to a full end, and they shall die. Father, we thank you for your word on tonight. Lord, I submit myself completely to you to be used by you as a vessel, Father. No longer I live, but Christ that lives inside. Father, you are welcome in the studio on tonight, Have your way, Father. Father God, penetrate the hearts of your children. Father, that we not just be hearers of your word, but that we will be doers. Father God, help our ears to hear and our eyes to see what thus says the Lord. Father, we thank you for this rhema word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ooh, so let's get to it. As I was preparing for tonight, after going through a rough day, the title I would call this is A Closed Mouth Cannot Complain. And when I first thought about that, when I dropped in my spirit, the first thing came within the natural, because, you know, I don't know about you all, but we all got the, you know, if you have any age on you, growing up, you heard the old folks say a lot of old sayings, and those sayings followed us through. They're not biblical, people. They're cultural. And we've had old sayings culturally that we use, and one of them was a closed mouth can't be fed. And basically what that meant is if you don't ask, you won't receive. Now, that's not the message. I'm switching it. Even though it sounds similar, I'm switching it. So when I say a closed mouth cannot complain, basically what I wanted to say, that's a nice way of saying shut up. Just be quiet, shut your mouth, and be quiet. Because we are learning, as we're going to learn tonight, that a lot of times we open up our mouths and we begin to murmur and complain about, you know, not being, and it's a, for us, we look at it as just voicing our displeasure or that we're displeased or we don't like how something is going. And many of us, we got in the habit of, oh, I can't stand this and I don't like that and she said this and he did that and, you know, and we just murmur and complain. But what we're going to find out tonight is though we just think it's merely voicing our opinion, God has another view of it and God don't like it. He don't like it so much so that the children of Israel got caught on a 40-year situation that probably should have only lasted maybe 40 days. And a big part of it was their constant ungratefulness, their constant murmuring and complaining, their constant, I mean, the more God did for them, he started by taking them out of captivity. And we often say, and we heard it, you know, you hear people say about the slaves, you know, even modern-day slavery, when we think about, black Americans that went through slavery, and they said they freed them. You know, oh, they were free. And people, you know, gave homage to the president at the time who freed them. But they really wasn't free because they wasn't free in their mind. They weren't free in their heart. And so even though they were let go off of the plantation, many of them was not equipped mentally or emotionally and some physically to enjoy, to embrace that freedom, right? So I think same thing, no change. Because there's nothing new up under the sun. So the same thing that the Israelites was going through back then, you know, we as black people went through it, you know, as slaves. And that's it was blacks are not the only slaves. You had other people. Matter of fact, the Jewish people, when they got to Germany, you know, they were slaves. They were killed off. Holocaust, you know. So, you know, each race, and I don't want to get into a race thing because this is not about race. This message is about God, but I'm just saying it's nothing new. But because of the murmuring and complaining, God, you know, the more God blessed them, the more God did for them. He took them out of slavery. He parted the Red Sea. He made sure they had manna by, you know, they had manna by day and quail by night, and they still murmur. And I can't even imagine, you know, you think about, you know, they had sandals. You know, they had sandals and stuff. I mean, they were walking through the wilderness, right? And I don't think I ever seen anything talking about barefoot or bloody feet or anything like that. So he was providing. He was providing their needs, right? And so all they're doing is complaining. And it made God so angry that they never made it into the promised land. They died right there. They were cursed. So their mouth, the complaining from their mouth cursed them. We know that murmuring is a sin. The word of God tells us that murmuring is a sin. And it's a sin. Anything that got to do with the flesh generally got to do with sin. Anything that got to do with the flesh generally got to do with sin. And that's just the truth of the matter. And murmuring is a sin because it arises from a fleshly nature. When we begin to murmur and complain, it's because our flesh don't feel good. Our flesh don't feel comfortable. Our flesh is hungry. Our flesh is sleepy. Our flesh is always something that got to do with our flesh. And when the flesh get uncomfortable, guess what happens? The tongue begins to complain. If we haven't mastered that thing, if we haven't consciously, because you can't be an unconscious person to master not complaining. So you have to stay conscious. And the thing about it is most of us don't want to stay conscious. We want to be able to do what we want to do when we get ready to do it, how we want to do it. We want to be able to just kick our feet up and eat what we want to eat and drink what we want to drink and listen to what we want to listen to, because that's our flesh, and our flesh says, I want what I want. The flesh don't want no rules. The flesh don't want to be disciplined. If you don't believe me, try. You know, it takes a lot of discipline to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to the gym. It takes a lot of discipline to push back away from the table when you know that you've had all you needed to have. We can't just take a couple of spoonfuls, which is sufficient for our bodies, really it is. But we want to eat the whole thing, and we know right after we get through eating it, we're going to be hurting, right? So the flesh want to do what it want to do, and one of the big things it want to do is it want to complain. It's a fleshy nature. It's our heart, and it robs us from God's blessings. Every time we open up our mouth to complain, every time we open up our mouth to murmur, we are robbing ourselves from God's blessings and, most importantly, his grace. The Israelites witnessed that because it cost them dearly. It cost them their lives. They never entered into the promised land. And God is trying to tell some of us in this modern day that our complaining and our murmuring is not taking us to the next level. We're not seeing prayers answered. Many of us are praying and we're believing God for certain things, and we're seeing that those prayers are delayed. And some of us, not saying everybody's prayer, but I'm just saying some of us, our prayers are delayed because of our murmuring and complaining. We can't, you know, if I can't be grateful for the small things, how I think God is going to give me the bigger thing. You know, if I can't be grateful with $20, do you think that he really want to bless me with $200? So he wants us to practice the attitude of gratitude. He wants us to understand. This is what we need to understand. When we complain, we are saying, God, I don't like this route. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like how you want to do this. This is what we're saying when we complain. We're making accusations against God and his plan for our life. And we got to understand that we don't want to do that. But we're doing that when we're complaining. We're in essence, we're not just speaking like, God, I don't like this, but our complaining and our murmuring and our bad attitude is really telling God, I don't like how you're doing this. And we're literally telling him, won't you step aside and let me do it? Now, I know some of us might say, yes, we do that. We do that when we move before God. We do that when God told us, wait, and we move forward. We do that when God told us, don't date that person, and we date that person. We do that when God tells us, don't spend that, and we spend it. We always want to move ahead of God, but then we want to turn around and ask God to help us out of our dilemma because we want to move the hands of God. So God said when we complain, it's basically telling him that we're not grateful, that we don't like how he's handling things. We don't trust him to be God. We act like he don't know what he's doing. And then not only that, our complaining causes us unbelief. It causes our unbelief to grow. It causes it to get deeper. When we're complaining, now what we're doing is setting ourselves up to not believe that God is able to do what he said he would do. So we eventually will be walking around here not believing that God will do what he said he was going to do. If we believe, first of all, I'm going to ask a question. It could be rhetorical. Do we believe when the scripture tells us in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things are working together for our good, for the good of them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose? So the question that's presented is, do we love God? Because if you don't love God, then I understand. Maybe some things ain't happening for you. Maybe, you know, maybe this message just may not be for you if you don't love God. Because this message is for believers, those of us who say we love God. And if we say we love God and we believe his word, then we have to believe what Romans 28 tells us, is that God is working all things together for our good. Not some things, not most things, but it says he's working all things together for our good. Why? Because we love him and we're called according to his purpose. Do you believe that you're called according to his purpose? Do you believe that you could trust him to work all things together for your good? Because when we say that we're believers and we say we believe in God and we say with our mouths that we trust God, we say that we believe his word, we say that we, that we're standing on his word, and if we're believing his word and we're believing God and we're trusting God, then we got to believe what his word says. And it's not, you know, we got to get to a point, and everybody got levels. When a newborn is born into this earth, we don't come into the earth eating steak and potatoes. It don't come into the earth making his bed and brushing his teeth. It's a process. It's a process of growth and maturity. Same thing with Christians. There's a process of growth and maturity. I think I said this before, so for those who heard it before, I mean, could you imagine? Can you imagine seeing a 10-year-old with a diaper on still sucking the bottom? I just want you to imagine that with me, if you will. Just imagine that. Let's say a 23-year-old. Can you imagine? And I'm not talking about somebody that has a disorder, but I'm talking about you just see a 23-year-old man, grown man, and he got on a diaper and he laying up with a bottle. Something wrong with that picture, right? But we as believers look like that sometimes, because some of us could be a whole lot further along than we are. And yet we keep going back. God is trying to get us to the next level and we keep going back. God is trying to open up some doors for us and we keep going back. And he said, I'm trying to bless you. I'm trying to take you to the next level. I'm trying to heal some things in your life. I'm trying to get you well. I'm trying to get your mind right. But every time I'm trying to do this, you go backwards. You know, you murmur, you complain. You get mad at me. But like kids, our kids get mad at us when we have to tell them what to do, what's best for them, when we have to tell them they got to brush their teeth before they go to bed, when we tell them to drink more water, when we tell them to eat the right food, when we tell them they can't go out and play, when we tell them to put a jacket on. Kids get to throwing temper tantrums. They're angry. They're mad at us. We're telling them what to do, but we're only telling them what's best. And God has said, you're my children. You're a child of God. I'm Abba Father, and I'm trying to tell you what you need to do. I'm trying to show you. I'm trying to direct you. I'm trying to guide you, because I know that if you do this like this, then I know when you get here, you're going to be okay. But we're murmuring, we're complaining, and we're throwing temper tantrums. And some of us get so mad. We get so mad at God, we won't say, God, I'm mad at you. But what we'll do is say, you know what? I'm just not going to pray no more. You know what? I'm just not going to go to church no more. You know what? I'm just not going to. We'll do that stuff. And we don't think at the time that we're doing that against God. But that's what we're really doing. It's called passive, what the world called passive aggressive. What you mean, Coach D? People that's passive aggressive are people that get angry about stuff and they don't know how to effectively communicate. So what they'll do is internalize their anger, or the person that they're mad at, they internalize that, and then they just be acting funky towards you, you know, the little passive aggressive, you know, and you don't even know what's wrong. You don't even know that you stepped on their toe. You don't even know that you hurt their feelings. You don't even know. But now you, but you notice that they acting strange towards you, passive aggressive. And that's how we do sometimes with God. We become passive aggressive. So he's telling us that if we believe in him and we believe it and we love him and we believe that we're called according to his purpose, then we also have to believe that he's working all things together for our good. He also goes on to tell us that according to Psalm 84:11, the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. What do you mean? Because we hear that word a lot. And I'm not even sure that most believers even really fully understand what uprightly means. We hear it, but what does that mean? You know, sometimes you can't do, I believe that you can't do what you can't see. You know, we hear a lot of words, we hear things, and sometimes we don't understand it. We don't even have a perception. And so we're trying to do things that we really don't understand. And the most stupidest question is a question not asked. And we just fail to ask for whatever reason. Oh, I don't want people to look at me funny, or, oh, you know what, I'm embarrassed. No, ask the question, what does that mean to have favor? What does that mean to be persecuted? What does that mean to walk uprightly? Some of us just don't know what that means. And all this time, for the last 10 years, I was born again. I'm a Christian. I'm not saying me. But for the last 10 years, I've been born again a Christian, and I haven't been walking uprightly. Well, why not? Because I really just didn't know what that meant. That's not going to be an excuse no more. We better start asking the right questions so that we can get the right answers. So, because questions lead to answers. Answers lead to choices, and choices lead, I might not even be saying that right. But you get what I'm saying. If you don't ask a question, you can't get an answer. If you don't have an answer, you can't even make a decision. So you got to ask the question. Upright is the equivalent most often used for the Hebrew word yasar. Yasar pertains to that which is vertically erect or horizontally leveled or smooth. It also means straight or evenly distributed. But we understand now. So now that I'm explaining this, you should be getting a perception in your mind. Now, everybody's perception may look different. You know, like, for example, if I say table. If I say table to you, what do you see? Many of us might see a round table that's brown. Some of us might see our table may be square with four chairs. Some of us, our tables may be rectangular with eight chairs. When I say table, you see a picture. Not one of you, I do not believe, seen the letters T-A-B-L-E. No, we've seen a picture. And so when we're reading God's word, we need to begin to get a perception, not just the letter, because the word of God says the letter, what, kill it, and the spirit gives life. So the spirit is the perception. We need to begin to see a perception of what God is saying. So when God says he wants us to be walk upright and just, if we don't see a picture of that, we don't understand what that looks like. So now I'm supposed to try to draw a picture for you. So if this says that upright is the English equivalent to the Hebrew word yasar, and yasar pertains to that which is vertically, that's up and down, erect, or horizontally level or smooth, it also means that straight or evenly distributed. So now I think I got a little more picture of what upright means. So in my So for me, when I see up right now, I'm going to think vertically erect. So when I think vertically erect and I'm thinking vertical, I always think alignment. And when I'm thinking vertical, I'm thinking of what this is telling me is that I'm supposed to be vertically aligned with my creator. Think about that. I'm supposed to be vertically erect. I want to be vertically in alignment with my creator so that he could continue to downpour into me, that he could continue to talk to me, that he could continue to walk with me, that I could, that I could hear what he's saying to me. That means upright. Job, according to the Bible, Job was an upright man. And yet, think about it. When we think about God called Job, he said to the enemy, he said, have you considered my servant Job? And he went on to say he's an upright man. And think about Job. Man, this blessed me. Not that I want, not that, not Job's sorrows and his past, but what it blessed me is God said Job was an upright man. And even with Job being an upright man, and yet his afflictions and sorrows were many. And that blessed me because I thought, man, I'll be going through some stuff. And I'll be thinking my stuff is big stuff. But we always think our stuff is big stuff until we look at somebody else's big stuff. And we always, it's always going to be somebody with bigger stuff than what we have. And so when I think about Job and all that, I don't even know that I could even survive all that Job survived. I would like to think I'm an upright woman. I would like to think that I'm pleasing in the sight of God. I would like to think that I'm making right decisions, you know, that I'm righteous and that I'm holy. I desire to be that. But I don't know that if I was going through, because I done been through some stuff that wasn't even quite like Job stuff, and man, it hit hard. But I'm thinking about Job, he lost his family, you know, he got sick in his body. I mean, he went through a lot of stuff that I don't think that we would even been able to deal with. And so, and he was a upright man. Philippians reminds us in chapter 2, verse 14 and 16, that we are to do all things without murmuring and complaining, that we will be blameless. So if we don't murmur and we don't complain, we will be blameless and harmless, the sons and daughters of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light from the world, holding forth the word of life, that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that we have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So he's telling us that when we murmur and complain, we just plant seeds of negativity. We plant seeds of bitterness. It's no good thing for us, and it's not pleasing to God. God absolutely, absolutely hates murmuring and complaining. He dislikes it. Anytime you gonna allow people to die behind something, it's telling you there's a great dislike. He dislikes it. And God is the same, yesterday, today, and forevermore. So he's the same God. And the same things that irritated him back in the days of Moses is the same things that's irritating him today. Believe it. No change. It's just certain things that he has a low tolerance for. And murmuring and complaining is one of them. And as he began to show me this on tonight and show me the very scriptures. And I mean, I know God didn't like murmuring and complaining, but sometimes he got to remind us. That's why it's important for us to stay in his word, because he has to remind us sometimes. You know, we get carried away with the day-to-day. We get carried away with the spouses and the children and work and all this stuff. And we do. We get carried away, and before we know it, it's easy to do. It's easy to do because the whole world is complaining, but we're not the world. But it's so easy to get caught up, and he got to remind us. And I believe tonight that he's just trying to remind his children, I need you to be grateful. I need you to be grateful. I need you to stop murmuring and complaining. I need you to start looking at your blessings. I need you to start looking at where you were and where you are. And I need you to remember, my goodness, I need you to remember that I did it for you before, and I'm willing and able to do it for you again. But I can't do it if you're complaining. I can't do it if you're murmuring. If I can't get the glory, if I can't get the glory out of it, then why would I want to do it? And I'm not going to get the glory out of somebody that's murmuring and complaining, because guess what? I could do something major. If you are murmuring and complaining, I could do something major, and it ain't going to matter what I do, because you're going to always murmur. You're going to always find something to murmur and complain about. So he said, I'm not going to get the glory out of it. And God is about getting the glory. We all want to feel appreciated. God's no different. We all want to feel appreciated. You know how many marriages went through divorce because what? He didn't feel appreciated. He didn't feel appreciated. How many marriages go through affairs because he didn't feel appreciated at home, so he found appreciation at the office? She didn't feel appreciated at home, so she found appreciation at the gym. Some people laughing because they know that's the truth. But we expect things and we desire things and we want things, but we don't think God do. We don't think that there are certain things that he requires of us, that he wants from us. So we're going to start. This is not going to be no long show. I'm going to open up the line, as a matter of fact, because I want to get feedback. So if you one of those people that called me in the middle of the week and you said, man, I was going to say something, but I got scared, or, ooh, I wanted to say something, but I just figured I wouldn't. This is the time for you to say something. Don't say nothing to me on next Tuesday. So I want to give us some solutions. We've already talked about, we understand the scripture has shown us what, you know, how God feel about murmuring. So we already know that. We know that we got to do better in that area. We know that murmuring is a curse. It's going to curse us. It's not going to bless us. And as you see, check this out. We think that we're doing things that are just going to hurt us, but the word of God tells us that it goes on to the third, fourth, and fifth generation. So it was said to them that your children, y'all going to be roaming in the wilderness for 40 years. So your decision, parents, I'm talking about parents that have little ones, your decision, parents, is affecting your children. It's called, we hear it and we speak of it now, generational curses. And those curses is passed down. What do you mean, Coach D? Some people have never heard of generational curses. That the sins of the father, and it's not just the father, the sins of our ancestors passed down from generation to generation. Somebody has to break the curse. So who are going to be the person in your family bloodline that's going to break the curse? You know, a curse is, you know, sometimes it can be something as simple as, you know, some families, maybe let's say the girls always got pregnant between the age of 14 and 16, and my mama had a baby young, and I had a baby young, and my baby had a baby young, and it, you know, just went from generation to generation until somebody said, you know what? I'm not having no baby until I get out of college, or I'm not having no baby until I get my 20s. Somebody's breaking it, and then they'll make it good for their child, because then their child will understand, we don't have to do this. This doesn't have to go like this. Just because my grandmother was on welfare don't mean that I have to be on welfare. Just because my daddy was an alcoholic don't mean I have to be an alcoholic. Just because my mama was drugged, you know, and we hear that all the time. You know, people say, well, you know, my daddy had diabetes, so I'm like, that's not true. If your daddy ate pork and didn't eat right and used a lot of salt and did that, and you turn around because you like the way your daddy cooked his ribs, so you cook your ribs just like your daddy, guess what? Then you're going to have diabetes just like your daddy. Not because you had to have diabetes, but because you didn't want to change behavior. Oftentimes, it's just a change behavior that will allow us to step into a new now. Change behavior will allow us to be able to enter the promised land. Change behavior will allow us to be able to reap the blessings of God. Change behavior will allow us to be able to be a blessing to others. You know, Deuteronomy tells us 28, but it will allow us change behavior. And most of the time, we don't want to change behavior. We don't want to change behavior, and guess what we do? Murmur and complain about not wanting to change behavior or dealing with the consequences of the bad behavior. So let's get some solutions real quick. You want to write it down. Number one, I'm going to close this thing out. Number one, realize that complaining is dangerous. Realize that complaining is dangerous. The enemy loves complaining because he knows God. Anything God hates, the enemy loves. And anything God loves, the enemy hates. So he loves to hear us complaining. And see, I told you, the enemy is not all-knowing. He doesn't read minds. He reads our behaviors and our words. So we got to be careful what we say, because he'll take those complaints and he'll take them and he'll work them. And if he work them, then you'll see him working them. Amen. So you want to change. Realize complaining is dangerous. That's the first thing. Remember, number two, remember God knows what he's doing. Why? Because he's God, and he's God all along. He does not need our help to help him be God. He created us. We're his creation, and he's the creator. He's the manufacturer of this. We're product, and he's the manufacturer of this product. So I don't think that the man who invented and built invented and created and designed and manufactured the Bentley, he knew what he was doing. It's his dream. It's his vision. You can't tell somebody else how their vision is supposed to work. So what he do in any car, whether it's a Bentley or a Toyota, they got what they call the owner's manual. That's a manual that you could go in and it tells you every detail about that product. Well, guess what? The Bible is the owner's manual. It's telling us. It's telling us. But we just don't want to take the time to read it. And I get it. Some of us don't, you know, how many of us drive around in our car? We didn't have our car 3, 4, 5 years and never read the manual. So when stuff happens, we just trying to fumble through and figure it out. This light is on. I don't know why the light is on. Or what we'll do is we're willing to go pay somebody $300 for them to tell us why the light is on. Well, we could have just opened up the manual, went to page 37, and we know what it is. And then we could, you know, it might be a simple fix. So remember, God knows what he is doing. Number three, put away past complaints that may have become bitter. Put away past complaints that may have become bitter. If you keep complaining about something long enough, it will. You know, it's called repo. Repetition, easy, pleasure. Pleasure, often habit. If I repetitiously complain, then complaining becomes easy. As complaining becomes easy, complaining becomes a pleasure. As complaining becomes a pleasure, complaining happens often. And as complaining happens often, complaining becomes a habit. So now I formed the habit of being a complainer. And guess what? Nobody likes a complainer. They might love, your family might love you, but they don't really want to be around you because they're tired of hearing you complain. I'm talking to the choir. They tired of hearing you complain. So we want to break that habit. Number three, I'm going to repeat that. Put away past complaints that may have become bitterness. Number four, keep on giving thanks in all things. This is not just a message of positive thinking. You know, we got all these self-help books and positive thinking and feel the vibe and you know, and the energy and all that stuff. No, this is not just some power of positive thinking. Because we cannot give thanks unless we see God as the sovereign ruler of the universe. If you don't believe that God is God, if you don't believe that he's omnipresent, if you don't believe that he's omnipotent, guess what? You'll never give him thanks. Because if you don't believe that God is God, then you're not going to give him thanks. And only you and God know that. Because people could put on a good front, we could say all the right things, we could put on the right Sunday suit and the right Sunday hat, and we could march into the right Sunday church, and we know just when to say praise God, we know just when to lift our hands, we know just when to say hallelujah, we know just when to get happy. But only God and the individual know where the individual's heart truly is. Only God and the individual knows to connect. So you need to ask yourself that, and that's between you and God. Do you really believe that God is God? Do you really believe that he's the creator of heaven and earth? Do you really believe that he created you? Do you really believe? See, because we might say we believe with our mouth, but our actions may not show that. Because if we believe God is God, then we also believe that there's a place, that there's a place of eternity. And we also have to believe that we choose that place for us. Because we have to believe, according to the word, that if we don't accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God, that place of eternity for us is not going to be to dwell with him forever. And that's what it's about. We could call it heaven, we could call it hell, but the reality of it all is that we're choosing this day who we're going to serve, and we're choosing, will we dwell with him for the rest of eternity, or will we not dwell with him? Father, we just thank you for this message on tonight. We thank you for this word, Lord. Father, help us to have an attitude of gratitude. Father, help us to be more thankful and just grateful, Father, for all that you've done. The fact that you wake us up each morning, and Father God, the fact that you get us back and forth home safely. We thank you, Father. We thank you for your angels that you've given charge over us. We thank you for the hedge of protection. Father God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, Father, that washes away our sins. Father, we thank you for just keeping us, Lord. We thank you for your grace sufficient and your mercies new each morning. Father, we thank you even when, can somebody say, even when it don't go according to what we plan, we say thank you, Father. So, Father God, we just say touch our hearts and our minds, Lord. Create in us clean hearts and renew right spirits, Lord, that we will be in the will of our Father. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. I am going to, as I promised, I will open up the line. If you're listening in on tonight and you have a comment or a question or just a praise report or you need prayer, if that's you tonight, feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. Again, you can dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. Man, I tell you, I was talking to my sister. I got one sister, and then I got a gang of sister cousins, and that we all grew up really closely, and we and we see ourselves as siblings. And I'm going to be transparent. I got off of work today, and I'm on the freeway. And this was a rough week. And I know, you know, Coach D is always transparent. If you listen in, I don't have nothing to hide. See, the enemy wants you to feel like, oh, don't say that. Don't share that. Oh, you don't want people knowing. And my thing is that the enemy can't hold nothing over my head. Guess why? Because I'll tell it myself. Amen. So this has just been a rough week, and I was expecting some things to manifest that didn't manifest. And it's kind of got me, you know, I got some decisions need to be made, amen. And so I was leaving today, leaving work, and I called my sister cousin, and I was just in tears. No particular reason, just emotional, in tears. And I said, I need you to pray for me. I need you to pray for me. And she said, what's going on? I just need you to pray. And she didn't ask no more questions. She just began to pray for me. She began to intercede. You need to have people in your life that's willing to pray for you. Not just pray for you. Because everybody says, oh, I'll pray for you. But you need to have people surrounding you that's willing to pray with you. People that's going to pray with you. People that's going to keep you covered. People that you could keep covered. Because if you got people around you that's not praying for you, and you got people around you that's always negative and critical and murmuring, complaining, that's not the people you need around you. Because sometimes we'll be going through some stuff in life, and we don't need to hear about what we didn't do right. We don't need to hear about, you know, maybe a bad decision we made. We don't need to be criticized. When you're going through something in life, you don't need to be criticized. That's not the time. That's the time when you need somebody to just stand in the gap and pray with you. You pray for you. You know, that's going to uplift you. Let's get through this thing. Let's pray. And then we might have to discuss them. We might have to get down to business and discuss some hard facts later. Welcome in the Holy Spirit. Let's usher in the Holy Spirit so that we can get some peace. Because you can't even make no effective decisions when you ain't got peace. You got to have the peace of God to even make the decision. Amen. So I want to thank her. She's listening in on tonight. Thank you for just stepping in. Thank you for being available and answering the call to step in and to pray with me today. As you see as a result of this show, sometimes it's when you're going through the biggest fire, I'm going to tell you, sometimes when you're going through the biggest fire is when you get the biggest message. And God just really shows himself mighty. He says in our weakness, you know, in our weakness, he's strong. And so when we're weak, he's strong, and it's revealed, it's shown. Okay, I do have a caller. Caller, area code 510, last 42688. You are live on Processing the Pain. Hey, my brother.
Amen, sis. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to come on for a brief moment. I just wanted to come in, just like you said, your sister cousin stepped in that gap. I just kind of wanted to come alongside you and sit with you for a minute and just give you encouragement and lift you in prayer and tell you that I love what you're doing. I love that you continue to be consistent. And that you've accepted the call, right? We've all been commissioned to go forth, and here you are walking in that every week, and it's not easy, you know. I do something similar, and I know at times it can feel like we're alone in this, and it's uphill. And so again, just kind of knowing where you're at. And knowing what that feels like, I just wanted to bring encouragement and say you're doing a wonderful thing here. God bless you.
Well, thank you, my brother. I appreciate your continual support. Blessings to you. I haven't heard your voice in 2024, so it's always good hearing your voice.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. If we have any other callers that have a question or a comment regarding tonight's message, maybe you have a testimony that you would like to share, this is the time. We're not going to have too much longer. We got about 5 minutes before we'll be closing out. But I just want to I was told that I don't open up the lines enough after the show. And see, I open up the lines, and then nobody don't ask no questions. So anyway, I'm going to give you just another minute or so, and then we're just going to go ahead and close out for tonight. And I look forward to being with you all next week, next Thursday. And we're just going to continue on this journey. We're going to continue on this journey until we get it right. I right now am participating, and if anybody is interested, you can hit me up through MCD Network, Inc., M as in Michael, C as in Charles, D as in David, Network, N-E-T-W-O-R-K-I-N-C, so MCD Network, Inc. at gmail.com. But I'm participating in a Bible study that just started last Sunday. And what makes this Bible study different is because the man of God that's teaching this Bible study is really, man, he's a theologian, very well-versed in end times, in the Word of God. And he is doing this Bible study, and we're starting in the very beginning from Genesis, and we're going to walk from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And it's simple. It's not even difficult. You read in 4 chapters a day. Chapters sound long, but if you know anything about the Bible, the chapters are not big chapters. They're not long chapters, like normally when you make a book. But they're not long chapters. We read in 4 chapters a day, and then every day, and then Sunday we kind of come together for about an hour, and he breaks down what we read the last week. And he breaks down, and you get a better understanding of the meaning, you know, what the Bible meant. You get a better understanding of the Jewish culture. It's, you know, you get a better understanding. Just so much stuff that we haven't been taught. A lot of us haven't been taught. We've been getting kind of the watered down version. And so if you're really a scholar and you're, you know, interested in really learning the Bible, this may be something you're interested in. Again, if you are, please feel free to email me at mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com, and I'll get you the information. I just want to acknowledge, Pastor Q, I'm gonna put you out. If you're still doing your men's, are you still doing your men's weekly men's fellowship?
Yeah. Yeah, we still come together on Wednesdays.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to share, and then I'm going to hit Dr. Crystal. I don't know if you want to share with the audience. Maybe there's some men on here that's looking, you know, maybe looking to be able to listen in or participate.
Most definitely. We meet on Wednesday evenings, and it's at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And we usually go about an hour and a half or an hour and a half and some change. But all men are more than welcome to join. Right now the group is about, I don't know, maybe 10 to 15 guys a week have been coming pretty consistently. And like Nisi said about this other group, we just get in the Word. We just finished reading the book of Genesis. We're going into Exodus. We go in and open up, and it's a opportunity for men to fellowship, to get into the Word, and to build brotherhood. So I invite any brothers that are interested to reach out to Coach D, and she can pass on my information, and I can send you the link. We do it over Google Meet. So if you want to just come on and listen, you don't want to cut your camera on or those kind of things, it's fine. But it is really interactive. We all get a chance to read and expound on what we read. So, yeah, all men are invited.
Okay. Do you want to I don't know if it's a long thing. Is it just like a phone number with a code or something? Or
no, it's a link. So I wouldn't be able to say it, but there is something I'd have to send out.
Okay. So if anybody is interested in that, like you said, feel free to email me at the mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com. If you know how to reach me outside of that, then reach me through social media, or if you're blessed enough to have my private number, then you can call me or text me, and I'll get that information to you. Dr. Crystal, are you in the house? Raise down one of your dial pads so I can see if you're in the house. Dr. Crystal, are you in the house? Oh, there she goes. Okay. Hey, Dr. Crystal, good evening.
Good evening. Coach D, how are you?
I am blessed. I am blessed, woman of God. I wanted you to share about your Bible study, your ministry on Tuesday. So if anybody in the audience, if they, you know, listening in, if, you know, if you're still accepting people in to your Bible study, please share with them how they can tune into that, when it is, what kind of song.
Absolutely. We meet every Tuesday morning Pacific Standard Time at 7 a.m., 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Zoom. We're in the Book of John. I love staying in the Book of John. We are probably, I don't know, chapter 7, 8 now. We're not moving real fast because there's no reason to move fast. We want to learn.
Amen.
We want to learn the depth of what, right? Pastor Ball was my mentor for at least almost 10 years, and he's still a mentor of mine. So much of what I teach is based on the Jewish culture because we know Jesus was Jewish. And much of what we have it received in our teachings as believers is found in the Jewish culture. With the wise, if you have a lot of wise or a lot of empty voids that haven't been filled, it's because perhaps you don't know the history, our Jewish ancestors. And so awesome time. We're in the Book of John, like I said, every Tuesday morning at 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time, and the link on Zoom. So you would have to share that as well with.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, so if anybody's interested, Tuesday morning with Dr. Crystal, and then we had, Minister Q, yours is on Wednesday. When you say yours is Wednesday evening?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so, and that's, is that, what time was that, 7 p.m. Pacific
Six.
Time?
6
okay.
Pacific.
So the men's fellowship is 6 p.m. on Wednesday evening, Pacific Standard Time, and then the Bible study, which is unisex, men or women could participate in the one on Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. If anybody else have anything they want to share as it pertains to your ministry that you're doing or what have you, please dial one. We could get, you know, so you could get a quick shout out. If not, one of the things I want to say, and then I'm going to close on out, is we know our youth is, we're looking at our youth, and I don't know if you like the condition of what you see. When you look out and you see our youth, and I'm talking about as young as 7 and 8 years old, and it goes up from there, do you like the condition that you see them in? That's a question that I'm going to present to you all for you to think about the next week or so. If you don't like the condition, have you ever thought about what can you do to change the condition of their lives? If you were able to change the condition of their lives, if you were able to do something different with them, would you be willing to? If somebody gave you a manual that was a for sure life changer for the youth, would you use that manual? Would you be willing to use that manual? And if that is you and you feel like that's something you would be interested in, I'm going to ask you to hit me up on mcdnetworkinc@gmail.com because there is an awesome program that is changing the lives of youth, been changing it for the last 30 years or better. And they have, and if you want all the information, then I could connect you to someone that could get you the information. They have a First Saturday Ambassador call that gives you information that you would need to be able to make a decision if that is something that you would be interested in doing. So if that's you, reach out to us, and we'll get. I'll make sure I get you connected to someone with that information. So anyway, if there will be no more questions, again, I want to thank you for tuning in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that you will have a murmurless, that's not a word, I just made it up, a complaint-free week, and that as we begin to put those four things in practice and we stop complaining, that we will begin to see the blessings of God overtake us, that he will begin to he will begin to give us the desires of our hearts. You know, the word says that we abide in him and his word abide in us, and we can ask what we will and it'll be given to us. But we also know that it's him that worketh in us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So hopefully the desires we have is the desire that he has for us. Amen. Know that you are loved and appreciated. We'll see you next week. Good night.